Well, it's a finally Friday, episode 367 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. Welcome. We've made it through another week. So go ahead and kick off your shoes and make yourself comfortable. Unless you're driving right now. Then keep your shoes on, or keep them off if they're already off. Just be safe. You're you, and I'm Steve Webb, your host. The LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. But you knew that, right? I just needed to say that for the new folks. And to the first-timers, I'd like to say a very warm welcome. I hope you enjoy today's show and that you'll be back many more times. This is a Monday through Friday podcast, and we're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track 1 is the Old Testament, and track 2 is the New Testament. Each day we alternate those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. Also, I try to average about 10 minutes per show. Today we're going to read from the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, the second chapter. And the Bible translation is the New Century Version. Let's begin. 1 Kings chapter 2. Since it was almost time for David to die, he gave his son Solomon his last commands. David said, "My time to die is near. Be a good and strong leader. Obey the Lord your God. Follow him by obeying his demands, his commands, his laws, and his rules that are written in the teachings of Moses. If you do these things, you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. And if you obey the Lord, he will keep the promise he made to me. He said, 'If your descendants live as I tell them and have complete faith in me, a man from your family will always be king over the people of Israel.' Also, you remember what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me. He killed the two commanders of Israel's armies, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. He did this as if he and they were at war, although it was a time of peace. He put their blood on the belt around his waist and on his sandals on his feet. Punish him in the way you think is wisest, but do not let him die peacefully of old age. Be kind to the children of Barzillai of Gilead, and allow them to eat at your table. They welcomed me when I ran away from your brother Absalom. And remember, Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjaminite, is here with you. He cursed me the day I went to Mahanaim, but when he came down to meet me at the Jordan River, I promised him before the Lord, 'Shimei, I will not kill you.' But you should not leave him unpunished. You are a wise man, and you will know what to do to him, but you must be sure he is killed." Then David died and was buried with his ancestors in Jerusalem. He had ruled over Israel 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, and 33 years in Jerusalem. Solomon became king after David, his father, and he was in firm control of his kingdom. At this time, Adonijah, son of Haggith, went to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. "Did you come in peace?" Bathsheba asked. "Yes, this is a peaceful visit," Adonijah answered. "I have something to say to you." "You may speak," she said. "You remember that at one time the kingdom was mine," Adonijah said. "All the people of Israel recognized me as their king, but things have changed. Now my brother is the king because the Lord chose him. Now I have one thing to ask you. Please do not refuse me." Bathsheba answered, "What do you want?" "I know King Solomon will do anything you ask him," Adonijah continued. "Please ask him to give me Abishag the Shunammite to be my wife." "Very well," she answered. "I will speak to the king for you." So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. When Solomon saw her, he stood up to meet her, then bowed down and sat on the throne. He told some servants to bring another throne for his mother. Then she sat down at his right side. Bathsheba said, "I have one small thing to ask you. Please do not refuse me." "Ask, mother," the king answered. "I will not refuse you." So she said, "Allow Abishag the Shunammite to marry your brother Adonijah." King Solomon answered his mother, "Why do you ask me to give him Abishag? Why don't you also ask for him to become the king since he's my older brother? Abiathar the priest and Joab the son of Zeruiah would support him." Then King Solomon swore by the name of the Lord, saying, "May God punish me terribly if this doesn't cost Adonijah his life. By the Lord who has given me the throne that belonged to my father David, and who has kept his promise and given the kingdom to me and my people, Adonijah will die today." Then King Solomon gave orders to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he went and killed Adonijah. King Solomon said to Abiathar the priest, "I should kill you too,
But I will allow you to go back to your fields in Anathoth. I will not kill you at this time, because you helped carry the ark of the Lord God while marching with my father David, and I know you shared in all the hard times with him." Then Solomon removed Abiathar from being the Lord's priest. This happened as the Lord said it would, when he was speaking in Shiloh about the priest Eli and his descendants. When Joab heard about what had happened, he was afraid. He had supported Adonijah, but not Absalom. So Joab ran to the tent of the Lord and took hold of the corners of the altar. Someone told King Solomon that Joab had run to the tent of the Lord and was beside the altar. Then Solomon ordered Benaiah to go and kill him. Benaiah went to the tent of the Lord and said to Joab, "The king says, 'Come out.'" But Joab answered, "No, I will die here." So Benaiah went back to the king and told him what Joab had said. Then the king ordered Benaiah, "Do as he says, kill him there and bury him. Then my family and I will be free of the guilt of Joab, who has killed innocent people. Without my father knowing it, he killed two men who were much better than he was, Abner, son of Ner, the commander of Israel's army, and Amasa, son of Jether, the commander of Judah's army. So the Lord will pay him back for those deaths. Joab and his family will be forever guilty for their deaths, but there will be peace from the Lord for David, his descendants, his family, and his throne forever." So Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, killed Joab, and he was buried near his home in the desert. The king then made Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, commander of the army in Joab's place. He also made Zadok, the new high priest, in Abiathar's place. Next, the king sent for Shimei. Solomon said to him, "Build a house for yourself in Jerusalem and live there. Don't leave the city. The very day you leave and cross the Kidron Valley, someone will kill you, and it will be your own fault." So Shimei answered the king, "I agree with what you say. I will do what you say, my master and king." So Shimei lived in Jerusalem for a long time. But 3 years later, two of Shimei's slaves ran away to Achish, son of Gath, who was the son of Maacah. Shimei heard that his slaves were in Gath, so he put his saddle on his donkey and went to Achish at Gath to find them. Then he brought them back from Gath. Someone told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had returned. So Solomon sent for Shimei and said, "I made you a promise in the name of the Lord not to leave Jerusalem. I warned you if you went out anywhere, you would die, and you agreed to what I said. Why did you break your promise to the Lord and disobey my command?" The king also said, "You know the many wrong things you did to my father David, so now the Lord will punish you for those wrongs. But the Lord will bless me and make the rule of David safe before the Lord forever." Then the king ordered Benaiah to kill Shimei, and he did. Now Solomon was in full control of his kingdom. May God bless the reading of His Word. King David is dead. Long live King Solomon. David was king for 40 years, many of them turbulent, and on his deathbed, he gave his young son words of advice. Now, we're not sure exactly how old Solomon was when he became king, but some scholars believe he might have been as young as 12 years old. Others think that he was in his 20s. I tend to go with the second opinion. Either way, David told him to stay close to God and follow his commands so that his kingdom would be lasting. And then David gave Solomon some directions about some specific people: Joab, who had killed innocent men, the family of Barzillai, who had given David shelter when he was being pursued by Absalom, and Shimei, who had cursed David even though he knew that David was God's anointed king. Because of our limited time, I'm not going to talk about these folks, but about Adonijah's request to have Abishag the Shunammite as his wife. Why did Solomon have Adonijah killed for this request? Well, you remember that Adonijah had tried to snake the throne away from Solomon before David died, right? Do you also remember that Abishag was the young girl that had been brought to David to keep him warm when he was old? She was his concubine, sort of a second-level wife. We're told in 1 Kings chapter 1 that David did not have sexual relations with her, but she was his wife, and they had lain together. Adonijah made the request to make her his wife as a play for the throne yet again. He thought that if he could have one of David's wives as his, this would give him a step up to usurp the throne. The fact that Bathsheba didn't understand this play, or that she didn't just reject Adonijah's request out of hand, might be that she didn't consider Abishag a wife of David, because the marriage hadn't been consummated. Or maybe she thought that this might be a way to assuage Adonijah's disappointment over losing the throne. His approach to her had been as if he had accepted his fate and merely wanted Abishag as a sort of consolation prize. Either way, I think that Bathsheba was a little bit, naive in taking Adonijah's request to Solomon. But Solomon saw right through Adonijah's deception. As long as Adonijah lived, Solomon was in danger, so he ordered Adonijah's death that very day. Solomon was God's chosen king. These were formative years for Israel. God's plan for Solomon and his chosen people was going to be fulfilled. Had Adonijah accepted God's will, his fate would have been different, but he chose his own path, which was diametrically opposed to God's. What do you think? If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 367.lifespringmedia.com. You can also tweet me at @SteveWebb_#LifespringMedia. On Monday and Tuesday of next week, I'll be on a short vacation with the lovely Lady Leanne. We're driving about 300 miles to the beautiful little coastal town of San Simeon, California, but fear not, I will have brand new episodes for you in my absence. We won't miss a beat, and we'll stay on schedule. On Monday, we'll read 1 John, chapters 1 through 3, and on Tuesday, we'll read 1 Kings 3 and 4, and I'll be back on Wednesday. Now, I'm going to be recording these shows in advance, so don't worry, I'll be giving Leanne all my attention. But I'll be thinking about you while I'm gone. But not really. It's been quite a long time since Leanne and I had a chance to get away, just the two of us. We'll take a tour of Hearst Castle, enjoy the Pacific Ocean, and completely unplug from the Matrix. Until I return, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.